reimagining downtown, and saluting those who are making it stronger in the cities. It's time for a new plan. It's almost two decades since Davenport had developed a master plan for its downtown area. And in those 20 years, some $600 million in development has occurred. The use of the riverfront dramatically changed, and the number of people living in downtown has blossomed. So community leaders are now trying to tie in all of today's realities with what tomorrow will need, and that requires a master plan. We talked with the Downtown Davenport Partnership Executive Director, Kyle Carter. Let's talk about downtown right now. We had a flood last year. We have coronavirus this year. In the short term, how's downtown doing?
You know, I think we're doing about as well as we can. You know, the last 2 years have been really challenging, but almost all those businesses are still here that were here 2 years ago, despite how hard it's been. So I think, resilience has been the word of the day, and we're still here and still need the community's support.
Well, let's be honest, the downtown area isn't box stores. It's not huge chains. A lot of times it is mom and pop, locally owned businesses, and this virus is really affecting them in ways that it's not affecting the bigger companies.
Yeah, you know, downtown is almost entirely locally owned businesses, which is one of our greatest strengths. And so the weathering this storm has been particularly hard, but local banks, the local community, as far as just folks showing up to these businesses has been incredible, and it's the reason we're all still here.
Well, let's talk about what's going on right now with a new master plan being developed for the downtown Davenport area. You actually asked for bids, I believe, last year. You're working with a New York architectural firm. You're trying to find ways to look at what the city's going to look like in the year 2040 and how we get to that point. You know, so many cities would have to say, oh, we need a huge downtown development. We need a huge arena or something like that. Davenport seems to have a pretty good base after what's happened over the last 20 years to build upon.
You're right, we have. We've had over $600 million already invested downtown in the last 20 years. And because of that base, the work that we're doing with WXY has really been able to refine what we're already doing. And there are some big ideas still out there. But we're in a position now that we need to capitalize on what we have done while getting through the short term of survival with COVID.
Well, what's interesting about downtown areas, I mean, you look at economic development from the 70s when the malls were developed, and it just kind of sucked the businesses out of the downtown area. And then they did more streetscape, or they tried to find some way to replace retail. Now it seems like you're trying to make it an urban living center, because if you think about it, about 8% of Davenport's population lives downtown right now. It's really become abandoned buildings or neglected buildings are becoming loft apartments, are becoming condominiums. The vibrancy of the downtown's really changed.
It is. You know, this is a neighborhood, and so it's a mixed-use neighborhood. There are folks who live here. There are folks who work here. It's truly the front porch of Davenport, and it's the face of the Quad Cities. So when we invest down here, it's not like an investment just anywhere else in town. What happens here is a reflection on our entire community, and so it's very important that we continue that investment and that diversity of who and what is here.
Well, the real linchpin, of course, is the riverfront. Is that really the key to the future development?
It's a big piece of it. You know, the city has moved forward with hiring the engineering firm that's going to be looking at flood solutions for the entire 9 miles. A chunk of that obviously is downtown. So of course that is critically important to whatever we do going forward. But our plan has really been focused more on the entrepreneurial efforts, the placemaking efforts, the public spaces. So we have faith that the city's process will move forward on the engineering and the nuts and bolts of protection of these assets, but we still got to figure out how we want to actually grow this economy, and that's more than just building and dealing with flood, well beyond that, and that's really where our expertise has come in.
But let's be honest, I mean, you can't ignore the floods. I mean, I think the city has pretty well made it clear, at least in Davenport, is that the floods are a reality, they're going to come back, the city's got to find a way to live with them, and that's such a key component to downtown.
Yeah, it is. And I think that engineering study will finally give some hard answers on what we can do to best protect our assets down here. And so we've been able to focus more exclusively on public placemaking, on entrepreneurial and office growth and residential growth. And that's what this master plan is really tackling, in addition to knowing that it has to be nimble and flexible to deal with whatever the solutions for the riverfront ultimately are.
Well, and one of the big things is that you're, and I don't want to say this incorrectly, but you're really trying to turn downtown not into this concrete jungle. I think what I've noticed a lot is you deal a lot with transportation. I want to talk about the one-way and two-way streets, but the bike paths, the ability for pedestrian traffic, all of those things really seem to play an important factor for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to remind people is that human beings are, in fact, the number one priority. Vehicles are an important part of what we do, of course, in our daily lives, but downtown needs to be walkable. The riverfront and the bike paths are being adjusted to deal with the new rail line height. That's something that the railroad is actually paying for to correct the bike path to be usable again. The streets need to be safe to walk across, and businesses and the economic impact of more walkable, safe streets have been shown throughout the country. There are study after study, and not just study. I mean, these are projects that are complete now around the nation that have shown the financial and economic benefit of making a community that is more human-friendly and less car-oriented.
Well, and let's talk about the car orientation, I guess, of the downtown area. I know that a lot of businesses, and I'm sure that a lot of developers, just do not like one-way streets. They were great for getting people in and out of a downtown area. Your fear is that they get people out perhaps better than they get people in.
They do. And the truth is that they were developed in the early 1950s for that specific use. They were developed to get people out of downtown as quickly as they could and into the suburbs where malls and things were beginning to take shape, which came a little bit later. But the idea of suburbanization was where the one-ways came from. And in 1953, traffic patterns were dramatically different down here. We're in 2020 at this point. What we need and what is best for both the economy, the safety, the growth of what we want to see happen needs different infrastructure. And part of that includes two-way streets on 3rd and 4th, which is something that we'll finally be seeing coming in a couple of years.
Well, you're talking about 3rd and 4th, but also you're pretty much talking about Harrison and Brady down the line. Is that not so?
That's not on the table at this point, but it's been part of the master planning thought process. Those were also two ways at one point. But right now, we're just trying to tackle what's in front of us, and the immediate issue is 3rd and 4th. I think one of the other things that's been overlooked and misunderstood is that the reconstruction of 3rd and 4th is happening. The city's investing heavily just to rebuild them because they're in such poor condition. All the downtown partnership did was come on, provide additional money, which almost up to $600,000 of our dollars over time that are just exclusively from downtown property owners, to help layer the two-way street on top of what will already be a reconstruction happening in a couple of years.
Well, to be honest, one of those, you know, catch-all comments about downtown always is parking. But is parking still really much of an issue as far as downtown Davenport is concerned?
No, we just did a parking study recently. The city did one this year, and it showed that there's an abundance of parking still. We have free two-hour parking. The ramps have plenty of room in them. We've got room and capacity for growth. Can you always park immediately in front of the restaurant or bar that you're going to? No, but if that were true, there'd be nobody down here, and the complaint would be that we're not doing enough to keep it busy down here. So parking challenges come with success, and that's a problem I think we should embrace.
Well, and as you know, a downtown has two different personalities depending upon the time of the day. There's the daytime downtown and the nighttime downtown. Let's talk about the daytime downtown right now. With COVID-19, there's a problem, of course, with fears of how properties will be used in the future, how much space businesses and office space actually needs. How do you see the daytime downtown transforming in the next 10, 20 years?
So that's something our master planning process is taking a serious look at. Daytime downtown population does need to be greater. We do need more office users. Although we have actually had a very good success with small office users, which our early plan is showing is very consistent nationally, where you see 2,000, 3,000 square foot, maybe 5,000 square foot office users which we've done great with actually this year. We've seen several expansions in new companies of that size. The 20, 30, 40,000 square foot big corporate users may become a thing of the past or extremely rare. It's great if you can get them, but hunting the big fish is not a healthy way to build your economy. We're going to be looking at entrepreneurial efforts, how you can build from the ground up. What are the people of color and entrepreneurs that have not been reached out to enough to build that economy? There's immigrant populations that we need to be working with more. There's so many ways that we can reach out and grow from within rather than just hope that the big fish gets landed from out of town, which does happen, but it's rare. And we need to be building all the time with a community that's right here to make sure that we're successful for the future.
And then, of course, the opposite side of the coin, the nighttime downtown. Davenport was like so many other cities that you could roll up the sidewalks. It wouldn't really matter once night fell. It's really changed. It's got a little bit of a vibrancy that I'm sure you want to grow.
It is. You know, these days it's even busier in the evening than it is during the daytime. And that's because of all the work we've done over the last 20 years to diversify what's here and who's here. I think we're going to see continued growth in that industry, hotel, restaurant, retail. We just got to get through COVID. COVID is obviously a knife to the heart of all of those things everywhere in the country. So we're in survival mode right now. We've just got to be able to get to a point where we can be sustainable and get through this so that we can see that kind of growth that we were seeing exponential growth of prior to the last couple of years, being a punch in the gut.
And as part of this new master plan that's being developed, you want public input. And part of that includes an online survey that's, I took it, it's simple to take, but it's really kind of getting people to think of what they use the downtown for, what they like, what they don't like, and what they want to see improved.
Yeah, and the reason that this survey is so important is that public input with COVID has been impossible up to this point. We've been hard at work at this thing since January so that we can present it to City Council at the end of the year. We had all kinds of plans for alternating currents and an event at the Figgy, and we were planning all kinds of public input. We were looking at doing some things on the west side. We had a really cool idea to do something, even down at La Finca, which we thought was going to be really cool, and all that went out the window with COVID. So this survey is our only avenue right now to make sure that we do hear from the public. And, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion are incredibly important in this survey. We need to hear from people we don't always hear from, especially if you live in the neighborhoods immediately adjacent to downtown, or if you just don't come here and you want to tell us why, or if you do, we want to know what you love. We just got to hear from folks everywhere in this community.
Our thanks to Kyle Carter, the executive director of the Downtown Davenport Partnership. And still ahead, saluting some of those people who are making downtown stronger. But first, going out and about. Well, that's something we really haven't been able to do since mid-March. The pandemic has simply made us rethink of the ways we enjoy ourselves and when we have any type of free time. Well, Laura Adams knows that all too well. And here's Laura now with more of a virtual tour of what's out and about.
This is Out and About through July 31st. Learn about the lives of Big Spider Beck and Louie Belson and their connections to the Quad City area. It's presented by Josh Duffy on July 28th and 30th. Or check out the artwork of father and daughter team Dawn and Bill Wolford. Their exhibit takes place in Geneseo through the 31st at the Smith Studio and Gallery. Learn about paper design cutting at the German American Heritage Center. Space is limited, so register now. The 23rd annual Arconic Junior Bix is virtual this year. Kids will complete their race until the 25th at any location from sidewalks to treadmills, then submit your time online. Circa 21 is offering a week-long musical theater camp for middle and high schoolers looking for advanced training. Register at Circa 21. Plus, every Thursday, experience Thursday Night Live with bootleggers and favorite Circa performers taking you on a musical journey at the Circa Speakeasy. While the Spotlight Theater presents the virtual School of Magic summer camp with local professional magician David Cassis, classes will be held via Zoom. The Quad City Botanical Center is holding an eco art camp beginning the 27th. Young artists are invited to a week-long morning art camp to discover nature from an artist's point of view. Plus, find out how Quad City's women made the case for and against women's rights to vote with an original Putnam exhibit, Liberated Voices, Changed Lives. Tickets available online. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
Thank you, Laura. Well, it's also been difficult for local musicians to go out and about, but that's changing. Some venues are reopening under some very important safeguards. The River Music Experience has announced that it is bringing back its Live at 5 concert series next month. You can check out the details at the RME website. But let's hear from one of those musicians writing her own material and enjoying every chance she can get to perform it. Jenny Lee Stacy performed a few months ago at the Downtown Moline Black Box Theater, and so we wanted to feature Jenny Lee with Nothing to Lose.
I cry so hard just so I can try.
Jenny Lee Stacy with Nothing to Lose. Well, our focus today is on downtown Davenport, and there's a new program that is called the Downtown Front Porch Project. It's an effort to get to know the people who are behind those businesses that you see the signs every day downtown. We talked to Alicia Espy, who is the program director for the Downtown Davenport Partnership, about this ongoing effort. So, Alicia, the Front Porch Project, what was the genesis of this? Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so it actually started way back when we were in shutdown mode. So I had seen some articles with some other photographers around the country where they were capturing photos of families outside of their front porch, and I thought the idea was really good. And as we're, you know, sitting trying to figure out what is our plan of attack to get promotions out there for businesses that are in shutdown, this was a project that we could start no matter what phase of shutdown we were in. So I wanted to adapt it for our business community and get the business owners and some of their staff outside the front doors of their businesses and really showcase the humans that are behind the businesses.
Well, and that's really a good point because, I mean, downtown, we were talking earlier, isn't really an area for big box stores. It's not an area for chains. It's really for family-owned businesses and the small entrepreneur.
Yeah, downtown is full of unique businesses, a lot of family-owned businesses, and so that's part of why this project is important, to tell the stories behind these businesses, maybe how they got started and what they offer, because these are not just business owners, these are our neighbors, and the people that they employ are part of our community too. These are jobs that are right here, and so it's important that we tell those stories and lift up our own community.
Well, and one of the people that you're profiling is Jane and Matt Majors, major art shop that's downtown. Everybody knows the place, but it's kind of nice to put a face behind the business.
Yeah, so downtown has had so much growth that I think it's always exciting to talk about the new businesses, right? And we've been fortunate to see a lot of that. But then it's also, this project is a good opportunity to revisit the people that have been down here, like Majors, that are 66 years. That's incredible. So putting the faces behind the business, showing that family's story, is really cool to do. And if you look at our social media pages, that's the post that's taken off very quickly, because people have memories there, and that's what it's all about, having people engage with that content and tell the stories about how for generations they've been coming downtown to visit this store.
Well, and also some of the new places as well. I think of the Oh So Sweet being a relatively new business that really had a tough time regarding the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, they're so reliant on supplying sweets and little gift baskets in businesses, and they found a way to do it more on a one-on-one basis. I mean, it's kind of nice to see how these entrepreneurs are even out entrepreneuring themselves again.
Yeah, these people hustle, and they've pivoted, and they're finding ways to get out in the community. You know, Oh So Sweet, you mentioned, she's got a new online ordering system. She's got an app going. So people are streamlining their processes because consumer behavior is changing. And so with that, our businesses are changing with the times.
You have talked to some 40 businesses already downtown. If I understand right, there's, I think, 250 businesses in the downtown area.
Yeah.
You're getting through them all. You got 40 right now. Well, what have you seen kind of as a common thread? I mean, what really struck you about the people that you've been talking to?
One of the things that I like to ask them is, you know, why downtown? And I think what you'll see as a thread throughout each of the stories is that these are community builders. They're down here because they care about the community, and they want to be a part of making it better. And so a lot of them talk about the camaraderie or the feeling of family here downtown. And so it's been great to showcase that through this project.
I know in your description of the Front Porch Project, you say that you want to highlight energy, passion, and resilience. Oh my gosh, right now, the resilience is amazing. I mean, are you amazed at the fortitude, the stick-to-itiveness that these people have right now?
Yeah, I mean, whether we're talking about the flood or a pandemic, I think whether we like it or not, the business owners downtown are used to getting beat up. They're fighters. They're willing to try anything and just make it through. And so that's where, you know, you'll see in some of the stories that I add some language about how you can support them right now, because like I said, a lot of them have been pivoting to serve, whether it's, you know, curbside orders or delivery. You have me and Billy out doing signature cocktails in their Cooper, the cocktail Cooper. They send a delivery service out with their cocktails. So I just think it's important as the community, we tell these stories that we lift them up. We spend our dollars locally. It's something we talk about all the time. Shopping small is important, but now it's survival for a lot of them. We have to get them through the other side of this.
Well, and the other thing is, like you said, I mean, these businesses also kind of treat each other as neighbors. There's a real pulling together in the downtown area as far as all the businesses are concerned.
Yeah, and there's a lot of collaboration going on. So you see a lot of times with, say, Oh So Sweet, Fat Sacks. I mean, they're all, and the downtown partnership is a connector to all of this. So we facilitate a lot of connections. So business owners are reaching out to us right now asking, you know, we want to do, maybe it's a small event, that how do we do it safely? Who can we partner with? And so that's part of our role too, is just helping take some creative ideas and kind of make them happen and make connections happen.
Now, it's featured right now, the Front Porch Project, on the Downtown Davenport Partnership website. If somebody is interested in taking part in it, or if they have their own business or if they have a friend, what do you want people to do to make sure that they can get involved and have a voice in this?
You know, there's multiple ways you can reach out to us. Obviously, the website is one of them, but you can shoot us a message on Facebook. I see those every day. So we are happy to capture, you know, I think I told you at the beginning of this that I'd love to catch 40 more. And so this campaign will run for a long time just based on how many pictures and stories we have so far. But I'd love to just do this ongoing because, like I said, it's one thing to always talk about shopping local, but when you can put the face to the name of the business and show the human side of this, I think that is what really makes an impact.
Alicia Espy, the program director of the Downtown Davenport Partnership, talking about the Front Porch Project. Of course, you can find out more about that project by checking out the Downtown Davenport Partnership website at downtowndavenport.com. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.